702. WhatsApp Refilwe on 072-702-1702.
And of course, what we do every morning after the 8 o'clock news is talk parenting. She is an author, a writer, a speaker, and she turns a gaze to the human potential, how best to reach it and capitalize on the resources we have to be the best version of ourselves. And of course, how to parent optimally. Nikki Bush, good morning.
Good morning, Rafia Ware.
So, the role of humor in raising children. I guess we're wondering, and probably the resounding answer to this question will be yes. If wondering if your natural sense of fun has fizzled out through the incessant daily grind of teaching, disciplining, parenting, watching over your kids during lockdown. My goodness, you have peeked into my life, Nikki.
I know, I kind of thought it's time to lighten up a little.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because things have been so serious, you know.
So, you know, how do we do this? How do we lighten things up with our own children? Because sure, this parenting thing is relentless, if nothing else. And
it is.
It's one thing for it to be relentless, and now you can't leave the house.
I know, you're locked in together. And so there's that tension that kind of forms, that invisible tension between human beings.
Sure.
And in order to release that tension, we've got to kind of let go a little and sometimes be a bit off the wall. And just do something. There's action required to release that tension. It's so easy to, at this point in time, be all consumed by parenting, being all consumed by getting the work done, ticking off the list. You know, we've talked a lot about keeping routine and all of those things, but how do we lower the tension in between all of that? And reaching your child's head through the funny bone is actually quite a good thing to do. And I'll never forget a friend of mine spoke about the fact that her husband jumped out of a cupboard one day and she nearly died of fright. But her children thought it was the funniest thing that had ever happened because they were kind of in on it, you know. And it's kind of to do the unexpected. To surprise your children. You know, kids have got very used to us being quite parat and quite serious at the moment. So to break the tension by being the opposite can be so memorable for them. It's the kind of thing that they will talk about in the years to come. Remember that day Dad jumped out of the cupboard and Mum nearly died of fright, you know. So just remember that getting people to laugh actually changes state. So here are a couple of ideas that might reignite your sense of humor and energize your parenting at the moment.
Please. I'm listening.
Right. You know, we get very used to nagging. So using a bit of humor can break that cycle too. So try this for effect. So you know how kids will leave their towels on the floor and
Yes.
Hang up your towel. How many times do I have to tell you? Hang up your towel. So you might try this. Please remember to forget to hang up your towel and do leave your clothes in a pile on the floor and do sleep with your curtains open. Oh, and don't forget to starve the dog. So it's kind of taking the mickey out of the situation. You know, it's diffusing it before it becomes a time bomb.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. You know, it really is. Yeah, I think we're going to have to reach into our little toolkit and grab that tool, because I think, like you said, we've been using and leaning on so many others, right? Whether it's routine, whether it's discipline, whether it's not caving into not wanting to do that virtual call for class or for maths or for, you know, whatever lesson is up next. But it's, yeah, we also need downtime. I was following a thread this week of parents who are just sharing stories about how you know, the little one woke up this morning and asked me for juice and yogurt, and I said, have at it, because parents were done, you know. Parents, someone that I know has been sleeping in her clothes, has been sleeping in her clothes at night and not changing into PJs or even taking a bath. And you know what? I was done this week, so it's fine. I was just you know, no one, it's hurting
it's
no one. Go ahead and do it.
You.
Go ahead and do it, you know.
So here's the thing. when we get ourselves in a knot, when we tie ourselves up in a knot of anxiety and having to get it right all of the time, what we are actually doing is we are providing our children with an audience. And when there's an audience, children will perform. And if you keep providing them with an audience that gets uptight because they're not doing what you would like them to do, they'll keep doing it because they know they've hit a hot button.
Sure.
That's the jugular. I can get my mum to dance up and down, scream and shout if I do this. And if you remove the audience, then sometimes you find that that bad habit just dies away because there's nobody reacting to it. So that is a parenting strategy, to just ignore it.
Yeah.
And you might find that after a couple of days, she's back in her pajamas because she's not getting any response or any reaction from you. So it's not worth pursuing.
All the fascination even ends, right? As opposed to, it might not even be a mom trick. It's just, well, this seems cool for a while. And then, you know, we just evolve and move out of that phase. And no big deal, no harm, no foul. Yeah.
A teen is a little bit like an overgrown 2-year-old. And they also find your hot buttons, and you'll find they'll dress in a way that suits them, but absolutely presses your hot buttons. And the more you get hysterical about the fact that they're wearing mismatching socks and an oversized jersey that goes down to their knees, and they look like a grunge, the more they'll do it. The less attention you place on it, they'll get through the phase a whole lot quicker. Yeah. This is not to say that we shouldn't have boundaries and expectations, but we need to choose which battle to fight. Mm-hmm. You cannot fight all battles all of the time. So pick your battles and use a bit of humor.
Sure.
So you might have sibling rivalry. You know what happens in the car when you've got two kids in the back of the car and they're fighting. And maybe they do this every single day. And now, of course, they're locked in the house, so they can't go out and they can't break that tension. And there's a lovely way of dealing with that. You know, there is this fight that happens every single day. So why don't you just kick back and say, hey, guys, I've got my popcorn and my Coke and I'm waiting for the performance. When are you going to start? Look at
that'll,
you.
That'll take the wind out of their sails very, very quickly.
Totally. So sometimes you've got to do the complete opposite, counterintuitive thing that you would normally do, and what they are not expecting, to diffuse it. And then they actually look at each other and they just laugh their heads off. Mm-hmm. They're actually laughing at you and they're laughing at themselves, at the absurdity of the whole situation.
In many ways, Nikki, what you're saying almost puts me, puts me in mind of the idea that, yes, humor is a very useful tool to bring to parenting, especially during this time. But even an extension of that being sympathetic or empathetic as well. So you're removing judgment from the situation, not just around your own parenting skills, but also around particular specific expectations around the child's behavior.
Yeah.
And we can even extend that to that feeling the same way or behaving the same way towards, you know, your partner that you might be living with or anyone you're sharing the house with, whatever adult, because that child is still functioning and having to learn, live, be disciplined within that same environment.
Yes, definitely. And how about adding some accents to the conversation? Mm. So, you know, you can say, and this is a story of one dad who said that his kid's favorite robot voice was, "This is RC3C. The next person who takes ice and doesn't refill the tray will be orbited into outer space. Please take affirmative action." So that might be the Star Trek mad child or something. And you can kind of get into costume. You can get into person, you know, into the act. And once again, what is it doing? You're still asking them to do the job that you asked them to do, but you're doing it in a funny way that breaks the tension, as you just said, removes the judgment, and just it just puts a different spin on it, a different energy, a different feel, and it's lightening up. It's just lightening up a bit. Lightening up and playing a lot. Now, play, of course, is something that diffuses tension. It's a different kind of language. So being playful, and for some parents, being playful is challenging.
Mm.
Some parents are not actually naturally playful. But it goes beyond having to sit down and play a game with your child. What about a quick game of hide-and-seek around the house? Spontaneous.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. We each have a turn to hide and seek. And you hide behind the bed and you hide behind the curtain. Or if there are a couple of you, one person is saying hotter, colder, hotter, colder. It's just to break the tedium of what's going on.
Mm.
And you get some parents who are really good dancers and put some music on and the whole family has a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And just movement shifts emotion. Motion Absolutely. Shifts emotion. So whether it's irritation or frustration or anger or whatever, just have a good go. Everyone's dancing full pelt together. And maybe you can each, you know, choose a different piece of music.
And I challenge any parents who definitely want to make their kids laugh is to take on a TikTok challenge. And boy, oh boy, will you lighten that mood. Just try it. I've got a question here from Isaac, and it's a pretty, it is actually a very thoughtful one. And Isaac asks a very simple question, but one that's key, which is at what point does using humor put you at risk of getting sarcastic?
Yeah, well, there's a
And
big
I guess you
difference.
can feel that emotion and that energy within yourself, right?
Yeah, mm. yeah. You see, sarcasm is actually trying to cut the child down.
Mm.
So you've got to be really careful there. that you're not actually manipulating your child
mm.
because there is a fine line there between manipulation and having honest fun.
Yeah.
So be really, really careful there.
Yeah, and of course, no worries. I can hear you. Do have a frog in your throat? So
too much talking.
Yeah. Well, good signs under this these pandemic conditions. When you know, at least we're hoping it's speaking arrangements. So that's all good. So Nikki, there's exactly that you know, trying to turn your stress, your frustration, maybe the tension into humor is not easy to do. But you know exactly that when your nerves are frayed, when your nerves are shot, you know there's that. Sarcasm can be humor adjacent, but like you said, a cutting down of the child and, you know, a belittling, really, as opposed to really lightening the mood. So I think if you know that you're not quite there and you can't quite get there, do some box breathing.
Oh, yes.
Find yourself, calm down, and try that approach only when you absolutely know you can nail it.
Yeah, well, here's a nice visualization exercise for parents this morning. Is try and use a simple breathing technique next time your emotional control is about to go up in smoke. And you could try the 8 seconds in, 8 seconds holding, and 8 seconds breathing out. Mm. So you draw your breath in through your nose, hold it for 8 seconds, and then exhale slowly for 8 seconds. And actually, it's the exhale that's the most important because that's where we relax. And it might help to visualize the air entering your body through your nose as clean and turquoise blue or any other calming color that you can think of. When you hold your breath, allow your blood vessels in your lungs to absorb the oxygen.
Mm.
And then as you exhale, visualize brown, green, toxic waste dripping with slime and foam, exhaling from your nose.
Sure, sure.
Or your mouth.
Yeah.
Yuck, you know, and really getting rid of those ugly emotional toxins, releasing them. And then once your brain is oxygenated, the next step is to take back control, frame your response in such a way that you take responsibility for how you are feeling. So remember that. So often when we're afraid and feeling, you know, completely irritated and ugly, we tend to say, you are making me so irritated, instead of, I'm so irritated because you don't mm-hmm. hang up your towel.
Mm-hmm.
So we lay it on our child as opposed to their action.
Sure.
And that's an important distinction to make. So that can be a very good way of chilling a little bit before reacting.
Yeah.
But also sometimes it's not even about talking to your kids. How about we just lie on the grass on our backs together quietly, just watching the clouds and just maybe just being quiet or maybe just talking about what we see in the clouds. Can you see that bunny rabbit? Oh, I see a dinosaur over there. Can you spot it? And sometimes just that is useful for diffusing that tension. Or telling stories.
Sure.
Telling stories. The wilder and more fantastical, the better. Or tickling each other's backs. Or if you've got a young child, lift them up in a fireman's lift over your shoulder. That gets them giggling too. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you really need to create a bonding moment, kids are just unendingly curious about what they were like when they were babies.
Ooh,
or
yes,
what you were like when you were a child, and stories from childhood. We just don't have enough of them at all. And another thing, you know, Nikki, is this is a frustrating thing about, you know, the human condition, is you forget these lessons that you keep on learning. So you think that this time around it's going to stick, but then the next time you have that breakthrough, you're like, wait a minute, I've been to this place before. I've seen this movie before. Why did it not stick? And I will say, I'll put myself in as an example. Going outside yesterday afternoon and hanging out with my daughter, and realizing that we both had not been outside all day long. And guess who had been tempted to moan at her because she had been glued to a screen for a large part of the afternoon. And I was like, well, and I was like, well, of course, because guess who's been glued to the screen? Me. I was working, but, you know, either way, it's still a screen. It's still a device. And after she'd potted around, painted, done the usual stuff, you know, the pull of the screen was irresistible. And as soon as I went outside to take a break, guess who followed? So oftentimes, the whole do as I say and not as I do is so fundamental to keep in mind.
Well, I had a dad of teenage daughters. In fact, he has a teenage son and two teenage daughters on our teen roller coaster workshop recently. And he said he came from a family of boys. They were always outdoors and camping and whatever. And he said one of his daughters said to him the other day, teenager, Dad, I want to go camping. And he said he's been waiting and wishing. They've never, ever wanted to go camping before. And suddenly there was this request to go camping during lockdown, of course. So he said, pity it's during lockdown.
Sure.
So, and we live in Gauteng. So, you know, it's a bit limiting as to what you can do. So I said, so why don't you camp in the garden just for, you know, just a dry run.
There's that,
camping
yeah.
together. And he said, that's exactly what we're going to be doing this weekend, is we're going to get all the camping gear out, and we are going to camp in the garden. Once again, it's a way of changing state. It's changing your space, you know, where you are in space. Just being outside of the house, in the garden, not under a roof, under canvas, you will talk about different things. You will giggle about different things. It will be shadows because it's full moon, and the, you know, the tree, the shadow of the tree blowing in the wind at night looks like the haunted house. Sure. Suddenly we're having shrieks and giggles because maybe there's a witch in the garden, and you know. Just to get into a different headspace with your kids, to take the pressure off for a little while and just be a little more playful, a little more childlike. And there's nothing, of course, like a campfire, you know, a bit of fire. Kids love fire. If you've got a blank space in your garden where nothing's growing, maybe you can just dig out a little bit of a fire pit, and you can have a campfire with some marshmallows and all that kind of stuff.
Lovely.
You know,
yeah.
Just create memories that your kids can talk about and revisit them often.
Sure. Where parents go, kids will follow, emotionally, intellectually, and literally, physically. I think we can't underestimate the effect that we have, 100%. Let's look at toys now, and you are reviewing, is it Eboo's Tea Party Spinner Game?
Yes, and isn't it beautiful? Didn't you just fall in love?
I love the illustrations.
Oh, well, this is, yeah, Eboo has the most beautifully illustrated range of games and toys and exceptionally beautiful puzzles. But this is one of those games that's for 2 to 4 people, and it has a spinner, and you're literally spinning for tea. So it has a real fabric tablecloth that you take out of the box, you lay it down on the floor or the table, wherever you're playing, and it has a teapot spinner, and you put that in the middle of your tablecloth, and then you spin. You spin for china, you spin for the tea time treats, the cupcakes, the plates, the cups. It's a delicious game of tea party. There are little sandwiches, desserts, fruit, and everybody has to, of course, win one of everything. And the first person to have their sandwiches, their dessert, their fruit, their teacup, their saucer, their plate for eating off, and their serviette is going to be the winner. But if you keep spinning for a teacup and you've already got one, of course you miss a turn, don't you? So there is that patience that one has to acquire through playing this game as you wait for the every time you spin, you don't know. It's a game of chance.
Sure.
So it's collecting what you need and being the first person to get one of everything, you're going to be the winner. And it's actually very well priced for what you're getting. Mm-hmm. The listed price on letslearnkids.co.za is $269, but if you Google it right now, the cheapest price I can pick up is $199. So just go and Google it, because it's a fantastic little game for, I would say, a 4 to 7 year old.
Sure.
And what you could do as a parent, of course, is play that game, and then maybe after that, you could go and bake and get the tea set out that you never ever use, and have a real pot of tea on your real china for the first time in a long time.
Well, good luck convincing Granny to bring out her special crockery that is saved just for the priest and or the ladies from her society. We'll give you some time to work on that. If you do succeed, give us a call at 011-883-0702 or send an SMS on 31702. Nikki and I will give you exactly a week to report back next week, Saturday. Thanks so much, Nikki. We'll chat next week.
Pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. That's Nikki Bush, a parenting and human potential expert.